May your words to us in today's scriptures bear fruit in each of our lives. Amen. Last time I went to the supermarket was the final day of November. Making conversation, the checkout assistant said to me, "Are you all ready for Christmas yet?" I was a bit shocked as it wasn't yet December, so I just said, "No, not at all," and continued packing up my shopping. To be polite, a few minutes later, I said to her, "How about you? Are you all ready for Christmas?" To my surprise, she smiled and said, "Yes, I've only got 3 parcels to wrap and then I'm finished." Being completely unprepared myself, I gritted my teeth, forced a smile, and congratulated her on her wonderful organisation. By the way, you might like to pick up one of the church Bibles or follow Luke chapter 3 on your phones, because I will refer backwards and forwards to the Bible. Today's is a long story, covering centuries, even millennia, but I will try to keep it reasonably short. I'll start with the verses from Isaiah chapter 4, which were kindly read out by Fiona as part of Luke chapter 3. So you want to go to Luke chapter 3 first. "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him.' Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation." Several hundred years before Jesus was born, God sent this message to comfort the Jewish people who were in crisis. They'd been kidnapped and exiled far from their homeland. The message was that the Lord would deliver them, would get them home, would save them, along with all people. Fast forward to Luke chapter 3. This is about 30 years after the birth of John the Baptist and of Jesus. Luke is careful to anchor the passage with place and date. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch, or ruler of Galilee, his brother Philip, a ruler of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysianus, also a ruler of Abilene. I don't know the pronunciation, but you get the gist. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John of Zechariah in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the River Jordan. So Luke the historian is saying, look, this is where it happened here and at that time. But perhaps more than the date and place, Luke would have had in mind the situation, the new crisis which the Jewish people found themselves in at that time. The Romans were in the process of colonizing Israel and Judea. Tiberius Caesar was the efficient but cruel head of the Roman Empire. Pilate was Caesar's representative in Judea. Pilate was accompanied by thousands of Roman troops. Some of the troops were stationed at Jerusalem. Brutal non-Jewish foreigners had taken charge of the area that is sometimes called Palestine. The new Roman overlords had taken it upon themselves to control formal religion, appoint the Jewish high priests, control the Jewish temple, and use the temple funds however they liked. Even the high priest's ceremonial garments were in Pilate's custody, released only for short times during festivals, then collected back in by the hated Roman overlords. So you see, it was quite a crisis. At this new time of crisis, God raised up a new prophet, John the Baptist. The words of Isaiah chapter 40 took on a similar but renewed meaning. It was still a message of comfort for the Jewish people, a message that the Lord would deliver them and save them along with all people. John the Baptist appears regularly in our services, not literally, but in the writings and Bible readings and hymns, so I don't want to go into too much detail about him. He led a Spartan life in the desert, probably with some companions, wore clothes made of camel hair, and ate whatever free food could be foraged in the desert, such as locusts or wild honey. We can see a little bit of what he was like from the TV programs of the anthropologist Bruce Parry or scouting leaders like Bear Grylls and Dwayne Fields. If you look further on in Luke chapter 3, past verse 6, you can find that John the Baptist was someone who was uncompromisingly ethical. He did and taught what was right and was completely dedicated to God. Filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, he cared deeply about the people and their welfare. Whilst he was in the desert, the word of God came to John. It's not clear exactly what this means, but afterwards he began to energetically travel all around the area of the River Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, pointing people away from himself towards Jesus, the Messiah, the one who would usher in God's salvation, the new kingdom, the kingdom of God, the one who would deliver them and save them along with all people, Jesus, the light of the world, as we celebrated last week and here. John the Baptist preached that people needed to change the way they lived, their lives, change their behavior, trust God to forgive their wrongdoings. People should be generous, for example, he taught. Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. He advised state officials to be honest, not misuse public funds, and married couples to be faithful to each other. Jesus completed his years of public ministry. He died for the sins of the world, rose, ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, the place of power, and sent the Holy Spirit to help, support, and guide the church. Through Jesus, the kingdom of God is here and now, but not yet at all fully. We pray frequently, "Your kingdom come, Lord." Fast forward roughly another 30 years from the time of John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul was now in prison, writing a letter to the Corinthians living in the city of Philippi in the northeast of what is now Greece. He looked forward to the time when the kingdom of God will be here fully. He calls this, in chapter 1, verse 6, the day of Jesus Christ, and says that God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until that day. In the Apostles' Creed, we call this the time when Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. At the moment, most of us are thinking about or preparing for Christmas in one way or another. We remember Christmas, the first coming of Jesus, when he was born as a human baby. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, the day when traditionally the church looks forward to celebrating Christmas, but at the same time looks forward to the second coming of Jesus, what Paul calls the day of Jesus Christ. Some people, like the shop assistant I chatted with last week, are ready for Christmas, And some people, like me, are clearly not yet ready for Christmas. Similarly, there are ways in which each of us can get ready for the day of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Jesus. Most importantly, we can follow the urgings of John the Baptist to change the way we live our lives, change our behaviour, trust God to forgive our wrongdoings, then publicly acknowledge Jesus through baptism and confirmation if we have not yet done that. Also, in the reading we had from Philippians, kindly read for us by Alison, Paul prays for the Christians in that city that their love would overflow more and more, that they would keep growing in knowledge and understanding and live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. I think that everyone who was at the informal communion service last week was touched by it. People were serving each other bread and fruit juice, ensuring no one was left out. This was a very powerful picture of what the body of Christ can be in practice. May we continue to tend to the well-being of each other as we prepare for the day of Jesus Christ. As Paul said in Galatians, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. Christians can also help other people to prepare to meet Jesus, the Messiah. In the short term, as the Christmas season rushes towards us, I'm just going to mention a few tiny things that we can consider doing, such as giving out invitations to the carol service to neighbours and relatives, helping to prepare for the carol service, pray about our own Christmas preparations, have a nativity scene in your home, consider finding suitable, attractive Christmas books as presents from places like the Mustard Seed Bookshop in King's Heath, St. Paul's Bookshop in Chad's Cathedral in the city centre, or, for anyone who lives in North Birmingham, the Birmingham City Mission Bookshop. Although, obviously, you can get books online too, but you can't see what they're like. Once or twice, I've received tiny books or badly printed books from online bookshops. The pop-up book about the Nativity, which we sold in the Christmas bookstall here, was very, very popular. Unfortunately, we haven't got a bookstall this year. Thousands of years ago, the prophet Isaiah spoke the comforting and hope-giving word of God to the people of Israel at a time of exile from their homeland. Hundreds of years ago, the word of God inspired John the Baptist through his preaching to prepare the way for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus announced the coming of the kingdom of God, though it's not yet fully here. Now we continue to pray, your kingdom come, to look forward to the day of Jesus Christ, the time when the kingdom of God will be fully here. With the strength, help, and grace of God, we need to prepare ourselves for that day. And we also need to help other people to meet Jesus the Messiah on that day. Amen.